Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? This week, we're talking all about investment and cryptocurrency in English. Have you ever wondered about the different types of investment that you can make, investing in cryptocurrency or even your retirement plan? Well, in this podcast episode, we have you covered.
We are by no means giving you financial advice. We're not qualified for that. The only suggestion would be that if you ever invest, don't invest more than you can afford losing.
And don't forget that if you want to learn more on this topic, we have a special bonus lesson for you over on our Instagram at reallife.english. So make sure you check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
crypto crazy
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're mowing the lawn, robbing a bank, or even...
developing your retirement plan.
Yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio, first of all, by someone that you guys have not seen or maybe heard, would be a better word, in a long time. And he is the person who invented airplanes because he was tired of being the only person who could fly, the one and only Justin Murray.
What is up, guys? Great to be back. Long time no see.
And as always, we have here in the virtual Barcelona studio, the one and only lovely Andrea.
Hey guys, it's so nice to be back together, the three of us. It's been a while.
It has been way too long. So Justin needed to have a fitting introduction to welcome him back for a very special edition of the podcast. And we had him on because he's a bit of an investment nut, by no means an expert, I suppose, but at least it's a hobby of yours, right?
It's definitely interesting. Yeah. Something that I've been getting into, trying to learn about, and I'm on the path to understanding investment better and making my life better through it.
Yeah. So in this podcast, I think you'll get some good seeds of knowledge about investment and about cryptocurrency. But as we said in the very beginning, we're not experts, but this might give you just some vocabulary and some basic knowledge that you need if you want to dig deeper into these topics. So that said, we are going to talk all about that today. But first of all, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
All right, so we have a shout out for an app user for Marketa Kunkova. Sorry if I mispronounced that, but this is a 5-star review on the Google Play Store. And she says, an amazing app for those who really want to listen to podcasts and learn something useful about the English language. I wasn't a big fan of podcasts in English until I found these special guys. You won't believe it until you try it yourself. Thank you for your effort. You are the best. Oh, yeah, Marketa, thank you so much. What an amazing review.
That is a really spectacular review, and I'm glad that we have gotten you interested in podcasts. Hope even beyond just our own, you know, because you can really open your mind up to some big ideas by checking out different podcasts. So that said, if you want us to shout you out, you can download the Real Life app, just like Marketa did. And a really great thing when you do that is that you can learn with this lesson and so many more with the full interactive transcript and vocabulary right there on the app. And if you check it out and you love it, then leave us a 5-star review and we might shout you out too.
And you can go on there and have conversations with people all around the world. So download it now and check it out.
Yeah, maybe you want to, after listening to this podcast, even go and talk to someone about investment or about crypto and hear about some other people's thoughts on the topic. So before we get into today's main topic, though, we have a very special kick-ass quote.
So today's quote comes from Benjamin Franklin, and he says, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest.
Ooh, that is a really great quote for today. So What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so I think what he's saying is that if you invest in learning, education, like you're going to get a lot out of it. But I thought that this was quite fitting for today's topic because also if you're planning on investing your money in something, if you're learning more about cryptocurrency and other ways to invest, really you need to have the knowledge to do it properly. You know, you need to educate yourself on the topic to make sure you're making the right choices for you and the right decision. So it kind of has it's kind of like a double whammy, this quote today.
Ooh, what does that mean, a double whammy?
It's like, it doesn't kind of just tell us one thing, kind of tells us two. So we're getting two ideas here.
For the price of one.
Exactly.
Benjamin Franklin's very fitting, I think, because I believe he was born in the UK, but then, you know, he spent most of his life in the United States where he was a founding father. We call him one of the founding fathers of the United States. So great person to represent our two countries. And that said, we can jump into today's main topic, all about investment and crypto. Hey there, real lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah. All right, so the best place to start talking about anything often is to start with why. I think a lot of you have heard this idea on our podcast before, so as we're talking about, maybe this is a brand new topic for a lot of you listeners. Why should people even consider investing their hard-earned money, Justin?
Well, I'd come back and just say, we talked a lot about crypto so far, and crypto is kind of this craze going on right now. But I would say that that's something that's more advanced in investing. I think definitely something to be cautious about, and we'll talk more about that later. But in general, it's interesting to think about how you can make your money make money in the future. So basically, how you can plan your life in a way, imagine the future in a way that your money grows, your investment grows, and that you can become financially independent at some point.
What does that mean if you're financially independent?
Financially independent means that you maybe don't need to work unless you don't want to. But that takes a long time of investing, for most people, at least. So basically, for example, the idea of compound interest. How would you describe compound interest, Ethan?
Ooh, that's basically, this is why investing works so well, because it's kind of like if you're continually putting in money, it's like the money that you put in the past is always gaining interest. So it's kind of like, and the interest that you're gaining, so interest being like the money that's, the extra money that you're gaining is being reinvested, so then that's making more money. And so it's almost like a sort of snowball effect that, you know, you're always putting more in, and the stuff that you put in the past is generating more, so that's also growing, and it kind of creates a, yeah. And that's really how people will get really rich investing, is because all of that interest is just compounding on itself. Don't know if I explained that in an easy to understand way.
Snowball effect, I think, is a good way to think about it. Andrew, how would you describe a snowball effect?
So if you think of a snowball, kind of just rolling down a hill. As it gains momentum and it keeps going, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So yeah, when something has a snowball effect, like it's you could even say it has a knock-on effect, like it just keeps going and growing.
A knock-on effect? That sounds like a British phrase verb.
Oh, really? Do you not use that one?
I've never heard that one.
I think it's like a domino effect as well. Like, you know, when the dominoes knock each other and then it just kind of keeps going. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the main principles here is to kind of zoom out, look at your life, look at how you spend your money, where that money goes. And is it really bringing you what you want in your life? Because oftentimes we're just kind of reactive. We follow, we're always clicking, we're always buying. It's very trendy to, like, you know, travel and buy nice things, nice shiny things, and to show it to the world, and to kind of have that status. When if you really look at it, a lot of people are really in debt. They're, you know, using credit cards, or they're spending all the money they have to buy this, but it doesn't really get you ahead in the future.
Right. I think a big thing too, it goes back to the quote that we shared, that at least in the United States, in school, they don't really teach us very much or anything about how to manage your money well, you know, and it's like such an important part of life. Like, and most of us, when we get out of high school or get out of university, it's like, we actually have to investigate this ourselves. Like, how does a retirement fund work? And, you know, how do I create a budget so that I can manage my money? And at least like in the United States, I think because credit cards are so easy to get nowadays, a lot of people end up just having debt. And that's obviously in the US too. We talked about education a couple podcasts ago, but people come out of university with university debt, and then they get themselves into credit card debt, and then they're in a whole lot of trouble.
It's true. It reminds me of that quote from Fight Club. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And that's something that everyone should reflect on, really, and think about what they're spending their money on and what they could do with it instead.
That's a really great quote.
I would recommend that kind of famous books that I've heard recommended a lot. So one book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. This is basically a guy teaching advice that he learned from his father. Actually, he learned from the father of a friend. I think he was like a caddy at a golf course. Maybe I'm wrong, but basically he learned how wealthy people save, how they approach money. And it wasn't part of his mentality. He had no idea about this. And basically him growing up poor had a different perspective on wealth and finances. And this really helped him transform his way of thinking. And he's sharing that with the world.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about that one, but I haven't read it yet. But I actually just last year, this was actually something that I was really focused on was like I said, like in school, I never really learned about finances or anything. And it was something I realized I needed more focus on. And I read one called I Will Teach You to Be Rich, which I found was like also it's like just for learning everything that you need to know about money is really well done, because it just kind of like takes you through like everything that you need to do. You know, you need to create a budget. You need to get your debt under control if you have debt. And it kind of explains in like a really simple way how you can start investing and taking care of your retirement and all of these things. So if you need kind of like a crash course, which would be like sort of the basic education that you need in something. So if you need a crash course in how to be financially responsible, that's one that I would highly recommend.
Okay, so now that we've covered some basics, the why, I think we're going to give you a crash course on some financial vocabulary.
That's a good point. So Andrea, where should we start? Maybe we could give them some investment-related phrasal verbs.
Yeah, there are definitely quite a few that you will probably hear that we might mention as well today. So the first place to start is with put in. So you put in money, maybe into a bank account or into some sort of investment.
Mm-hmm. You might put your money into stocks or bonds, which are different types. I think like most people know, most people are more familiar probably with stocks, right? That stocks is like you buy a part of a company in some sense. And basically as the company grows, if the company grows, then your stock, the money that your stock is worth will grow. But if the company declines, then obviously that reflects also in your stock. And bonds are basically like a loan that you're giving to the government, right? It's something along those lines.
Yeah, I believe it's actually you're loaning the government money and they're going to pay you back an increased amount in the future. So there's a percentage of interest they're going to pay.
Right. All right. What other phrasal verbs should people know?
So another one with put is put up. So maybe, for example, you might be buying a house and you need to pay a deposit. We might say that you put up £20,000 or something for an initial deposit. Would you use that?
We say put down, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And in American English, I think we'd say you put down the initial deposit.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I think I've heard both, but yeah, I wonder if we use put up more in the UK. I have to think about it.
We could say that you put up your house for sale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
What else?
So maybe if you're buying into stocks or something like that, like you mentioned, we could use the phrasal verb buy into.
Mm-hmm.
And also with buy, we could say we buy out. So maybe if you have some shares, someone wants to buy you out of the company or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know also a lot of times in legal documents, there are like buyout clauses as well, aren't there? Like to say what the terms are of the deal, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And trying to think what would be the opposite of if you buy someone out. I mean, for the other person, would you sell out?
Yeah, what does that person do? You'd just say they're buying me out, wouldn't you, I think?
Mm-hmm. What's a sellout then?
A sellout is a band that, you know, starts playing pop music when they had the original, like, you know, pure music, right?
That's right, yeah. It's like someone who's not aligning with their ethics, their values, right? Because they want to make money.
Yeah, but literally in this case, what does it mean?
To sell out of something, that means like you don't have any left, right? Maybe, I don't know if there's IPO, right? Like an initial public offer. And I'm not sure if that can sell out. Probably actually doesn't sell out, but the price will go up if there's a lot of hype around it.
Okay. So moving on to the types of market, right? So we have a bear and a bull, right? You have the bear market and a bull market. What's the difference?
I always confuse these two, but a bull market is, I think that's the good one, right? It's like, well, at least if you're in the market, that's a good one because your share prices are going up in general. So it's like if you, I think they tend to say that like you want to actually buy in a bear market and sell in a bull market is like, you know, like Warren Buffett, who's probably the richest investor on earth, arguably, right? And I think that's what he got really rich by always buying up in a bear market. But most people are very scared to buy in a bear market because there's like a fear that it won't go back up, right?
What's the quote? I think it's like buy up when people are fearful and sell when people are greedy or something like that. But basically, I think it's really important in investing to be able to control your emotions.
Yeah.
Because if you zoom out and have that long-term view of things, you know the best moments to buy. But if you're really caught up in the hype, what does hype mean?
Yeah. You said another word like that too, the hype. That's like when everyone's talking about something, right? And this is really what's happening with crypto so much right now is that you can get really sucked into the hype or the craze of it. And I think some people can make really bad decisions, you know, if they're paying too much attention to that and letting it affect their emotions too much.
Because then they end up like buying when it's really high and then it starts going down and they sell.
Yeah.
So they end up losing a lot of money rather than just waiting, holding their investment, not just crypto, but anything really. So it's important to have that emotional intelligence and emotional maturity. And sometimes you really need to go through like cycles. So you need to go through a bull market and a bear market to actually see what's happening, to get past that fear, to have the maturity, the emotional maturity to be able to have a better approach next time.
And sometimes it can be good, obviously, depending on what you're buying. But I think for most people, it makes more sense to do long-term investments. You almost want to like buy something and, you know, don't look at it for a year and just like, because otherwise maybe you're just gonna, it could just really make you anxious or stressed out every time it goes down. And maybe you get like really excited every time it goes up. So if you're planning at least to buy it for long-term investment, you might just set it and forget it, as we could say.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it. Yeah, that's like when you set something up and then you leave it. It works on its own, right?
Interesting flap T there. Set it, the T becomes a D, right? Because it's between two vowels, right? Set it, and then the and becomes an N. Set it and forget it.
How would you say that, Andrea?
I'd probably say set it and forget it, or maybe with a glottal T, set it and forget it. Mm.
Sounded really cockney there.
Yeah.
But anyway, about the bear and the bull, I like to think about the bear. If you look at a bear, the bear has like a bigger back, right? And the head usually goes down closer to the ground. So think about that's going down, right? And then the bull generally has like an, I think of a bull like kicking up, or not kicking up, but its front paws are up, right? And so it has like an upward energy,
mm-hmm.
right? That's kind of the way I think about it in my mind, just to remember.
That's a good way to think about it. I like the bear going down. It kind of looks like a downward graph.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking, I mean, the bear bull market, that's kind of talking about the stock market. What other investments might people make, Andrea?
Yeah, so I think one of the most really common ones, I don't know if it's the same in the US, but I feel like in the UK, everyone kind of goes through this process, you know, once they get married, like the next thing is mm-hmm. to buy a house and then have kids and all that kind of stuff. And I think also maybe for people, especially that don't know as much about the other ways that you can invest money or they're frightened about it, I think one of the safest bets is real estate, like you guys would say, or we would say that you want to get on the property ladder or in the property market. So you would buy a house or a flat or an apartment as an investment.
Yeah. I remember my parents saying that real estate's always a good investment. Although I think that's not always so true because you can have like a bubble, you can have a housing bubble, they'll call it, right? That can pop. And then it's like the housing, the value of the houses in like a certain area can just like crash a lot and people will lose a lot of money on that. So it's not, no type of investment is foolproof, right? It's completely secure.
But at the same time, think about how much money you put into your rent. And so if you put that over time, right, over 10 years, it's like, really, how much is that going to be over, you know, 10, 20 years? And, you know, if you're in the same place, it might be an interesting investment to actually buy a place and leave it long term, pay the mortgage, 2.7 kids.
If you're planning on settling down somewhere, then that can be it could potentially be a good bet.
Okay, settling down, mortgage?
Settle down is when you put roots down in some place. So it's basically like what Andrea was describing. When you buy a house or you get married, you have kids, it's like you're really putting down roots in a place. You're settling down. You're not like a young, wild person that's, you know, partying or moving about a lot or anything like that. And mortgage, would it be the same word in the UK, Andrea?
Yeah, we use the same word. So usually when you buy a house, maybe you put a deposit, but then you get a mortgage, which is basically you're borrowing money from the bank and then you have to pay that money back over however many years your mortgage is for, so that then you can own the property outright.
All right. And what other types of investments might people be interested in making?
Well, we talked about equities, which are like the stock market, buying shares in a business, right? Like you can go on the stock market, but I don't really know how it works. I know, you know, in the US, you have the American stock market, right? You have mm-hmm. the American stock markets. And what about UK? What's the main way of investing there?
Yeah, I'm not sure right now. I think like the most secure, the one that people tend to go for is properties, especially because maybe if you start off with a small place and then you get some equity in that, then you can get a deposit to then buy another one and try and do something like that. And then we did have like that there were before the crash, like around 2008 and stuff, there were some really good like bank accounts where you could save your money and get a really good interest rate and then do things like mm-hmm. compounding, like what you were talking about before. But then, yeah, some people do also invest their money in stocks and shares. There are different ways, again, just some knowledge about it, learn about it. And that's another way I think people tend to invest their money.
Is there an equivalent of Wall Street in London or elsewhere in the UK? Imagine it's in London. It's like the financial capital of the UK, right?
Yeah, probably Canary Wharf, which is like east, towards the east of London. There are some big skyscrapers there. That tends to be where all the big companies are. Yeah.
There you go. And something else that's gotten really popular too, I think, are investing in developing countries. I know a lot of people will get like I think it's called like an ETF or, you know, maybe some sort of fund. A fund is like basically someone who will get a lot of money, will kind of like put together a fund and invest in many different stocks. And it could be because diversification is really important in investment, that you're not putting all your eggs in one basket, which means that you're getting different types of things. So for example, maybe you put some in property, but maybe you're also putting some in the stock market. So you don't have, so just because like maybe the housing market goes down, the stock market won't necessarily go down. And something that's gotten popular in some funds is also investing in developing countries, in countries like Brazil and China, in Indonesia, for example, that there are countries where there's a lot of growth right now. And so I think a lot of Americans now are putting their money into other countries even.
They're hedging their bets, right?
Ooh, what does that mean? That's a good financial expression.
Well, hedge is kind of a way to like trim right? Isn't it trim your, like, your hedges? I don't even know what hedge literally means.
Yeah, it's like a type of bush.
Yeah. And then hedge your bets basically means like to secure your bets with another bet, right? To kind of like, it's an insurance policy, kind of like that, right?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. And something else that's all the rage now, as we were mentioning before, and we promised we'd talk about cryptocurrency. So I know this, there's a lot of hype around this now because my mom asked me about it. So, I mean, if it's getting to, you know, our parents' generation is starting to talk about this, then it's become more mainstream.
What does it mean if something is more mainstream?
Means that it's kind of been accepted by pop culture or by the majority of the population, right? So, yeah, when we say like crypto has become mainstream, at least, I mean, before it was something that you'd heard about, but most people didn't know anything about it. And now it's something that more and more people are getting interested in it as a potential investment. And some people, I've heard like very crazy stories about some people, you know, putting a second mortgage on their house so they can invest that all in cryptocurrency. Because, for example, the dollar in the last few years has been getting really hugely devalued. So people are afraid, like, again, a bubble is going to pop, that the dollar is going to lose a lot of value. And so they're hedging their bets, as Justin said, by putting it in maybe Bitcoin or in Ethereum or in other cryptocurrencies that we'll talk about, because I think that's a better long-term bet.
It's still very controversial. There's a spectrum of beliefs, like a lot of really high-profile people that are against it. Like I read something like 80% of traditional investors, or 70% or something, the majority basically think that crypto will fail. That it's a huge bubble and that it's going away. But there are some really big investors like Paul Tudor Jones, Ray Dalio, I think is like warmed up to the idea as well. And Elon Musk, there's a guy named Michael Saylor who he has a company called MicroStrategy. This is a very extreme case, but he invested over $1 billion in Bitcoin, pretty much all of his company's treasury in Bitcoin. And he's one of the biggest proponents of it. So really, there are all kinds of different perspectives. But it's true, it is hitting mainstream. A large percentage of people are warming up to it, becoming interested, investing some money. But definitely, probably the most conservative advice, I mean, is to be curious, get to know it. And some, you know, Paul Tudor Jones, for example, is a famous investor. He basically says, like, well, a couple percent of your portfolio. Portfolio? What is your portfolio, Ethan?
Your portfolio, as I was saying earlier, like, you want diversification. So your portfolio would be all of your assets. Assets would be things that you've invested in. And all of those put together is your portfolio. So you want to have a diverse portfolio with many different types of investment.
Yeah. So, but going into this, talking about crypto, we can talk for a long time about it, but I think it's interesting to talk about the actual, like, history of money, because this sort of puts crypto in context a little bit. And we watched a video together kind of preparing for this to kind of put ourselves on the same page. But what did the video talk about for the stages of money?
It was really interesting because obviously back in the day, if people wanted to make an exchange, they would just like exchange possessions, like, oh, I have a cat, you have a horse, I want your horse, let me give you my cat or something. But maybe that other person didn't want the cat. So then they started like using gold or silver as a way to trade. And then, of course, banks and governments came into it to kind of centralize everything and would make coins, not necessarily with gold and silver as we know now, but I think that's where that developed from. And then also notes. So I don't know. Is your money paper, your notes in the US?
I believe it is still paper. Like the euro and the pound have changed recently, right? To be a more plastic. Sturdy material.
Yeah, they're plastic now. Mm-hmm. So really, if you think about our money now, it doesn't necessarily have that value like it did back in the day where they were trading like silver and gold coins that actually had value. Now it just says, like, Bank of England says that this is a £10 note, for example. And, you know, we just take that as is. But now it's changed even more, hasn't it?
Yeah. Now, I mean, especially since COVID, like, you don't really want to have physical money because it's so, obviously, it's something that can carry a lot of germs and things like that, contamination. So I think it's become more popular than ever to digitalize things and to use credit cards. And it seems like now almost everywhere you go, here, at least almost everywhere you go, they accept credit cards. So that makes it really convenient to not have to ever go to an ATM or to a physical bank. All your money is digitalized, but it's also psychologically a little bit strange because you're not actually seeing your money. I mean, your money is not something physical anymore. It's just something that's like numbers on a form, right?
And I would go back and highlight a little bit. The moment that gold and silver became centralized banks and they started creating paper, paper is infinite. There's no scarcity, right? So if a government or a central bank can print money at will and there's no scarcity, what happens to the value of the money, mm-hmm. right? So any money, like going back all the way in history, like they've used shells, but if you have a society that's using shells for money and somebody comes in and just like floods the system with new shells, what happens to the value of those shells?
Yeah, goes down a lot.
And this, in some sense, is an important reason why gold has become so valuable throughout history, because it's the most sturdy, it's the hardest to create, it doesn't go away, it's the best form of money that exists, that ever existed. But coming back to what we were talking about, so in COVID, money becomes digital, we're using, you know, they're just numbers on a screen, right?
Right. Something else too with everything we've talked about so far is, I mean, you were saying shells, and it's like, if you're in Village A, that uses shells, but you go over to Village B over the mountain and they don't use shells, then it's like you have no money, it's worthless, right? And even nowadays, it's like it's pretty complicated if you're in India and you want to travel to the UK, it's like, okay, you have to change all your money over into pounds. And you probably have to pay like a lot of fees for this. Or if you want to send money to like your family back in India, then it's like you have to pay a bunch of fees to send that. So it's kind of like even having money be digital, where it just seems to be numbers on a screen, it still is very difficult to exchange your money into other currencies, to pay things in other countries, and then to, like, you know, send money if people are in another country, which, as we're becoming a more and more globalized world, we need a currency that goes beyond borders, right?
So this brings us to 2009, right? The housing market was a huge collapse, a huge recession, right? And a person under the pseudonym of Satoshi Nakamoto came along. What did he do? Anybody, but this is a pseudonym for somebody who created Bitcoin. Nobody knows who this is, but a programmer came along kind of inspired by the cyberpunk movement. And he created a digital currency, decentralized, using a new technology that he created called the blockchain. So basically, this enabled people to exchange money. It was a new form of currency, and it was a new form of value that was like valued very, very little at the time. But as more and more people adapted to it, it became extremely valuable. And ultimately, there was a scarcity in the amount that would be created over time. So basically, 21 million Bitcoins would be created over the entire history. But it would get released little by little. A lot at first, and then less and less over time. And up until now, I believe, I don't know the exact amount, I think like 90% of the Bitcoin has already been created. And it's getting more and more scarce as each year goes by.
Right. And just to backtrack a little bit, because people tend to confuse different terms. So they hear cryptocurrencies, they think Bitcoin is cryptocurrency or Bitcoin is blockchain, but they all refer to different things, right?
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin was the original, right? It was kind of it's the OG.
Mm-hmm.
OG is like a term, like it means original gangster, right? But it's the original, and then other coins have been built on top of this that don't have that the same properties. Like Bitcoin is completely decentralized. Like this guy, Satoshi Nakamoto, this person, right, the pseudonym, stepped out. And this person would have many, million, many billions of dollars, but it's just sitting there in this Bitcoin wallet, and this person stepped out. This person disappeared. So it kind of gives this mystical, like, religious founder experience for people going into it. It's a story that really captivates people.
Could be like a cult as well, the Bitcoin cult.
And actually, like, if you research cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and stuff, you realize there is sort of like this cult around Bitcoin. And maybe people listening to this, it's Bitcoin maximalism. It's this core, this undying core that believes that Bitcoin is the only one. It's the only cryptocurrency. All the other ones are, they're called shitcoins, actually. They call them shit. So you have Bitcoin and you have all these other, like Ethereum, and we'll talk about Ethereum and Dogecoin quickly, but they're all shitcoins.
By these people's point of view, right?
I think it's interesting as well to think about the word cryptocurrency. So it comes, seen as I'm here, may as well say that it's a Greek word. But so cryptos basically means hidden or secret. And that's what it is, isn't it? Because it's like cryptocurrency or cryptography is the art of writing and solving codes. And that's what this is, isn't it? Because it's all digital. And like the good thing about it, that like one thing that I really liked about learning about it was the fact that, you know, it's pretty secure the way that these blockchains work and things like that. Like it sounds so much more secure than just having your money in a bank account, where there's so much fraud these days and people can, you know, steal money from you in certain ways. I think with cryptocurrency and stuff, it's just extra hard. It's much like it's near impossible, right, to even do anything like that.
All right, so we've been talking for a very long time. We just scratched the surface with cryptocurrencies, with Bitcoin, with blockchain, with other types of cryptocurrencies. So we would love to do a part two for you guys, but you have to let us know if it's a topic that you're interested in learning more about. Certainly, if we make a podcast on this, we would try to give you some of the knowledge that you would need to be able to dig deeper on this on your own, because a lot of the information on it is in English, right? So that said, head over to the Real Life app, leave us a 5-star review, or head over to the show notes of this episode, which are over at reallifeglobal.com, or you can just click the link in the description and leave a comment there letting us know. And if enough of you want a part two where we just talk exclusively about cryptocurrency in English, we will totally do that.
And don't forget that if you want to learn more about investment and retirement planning and things like this, and a little bit more about our culture in the UK and the US, make sure you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, where you'll find a bonus lesson there.
Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Oh yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.